It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's great to have you today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 8 and all the way down to verse 21. Now, I want you to open your Bibles up and study along with me. It's so important that you see these verses of Scripture. We're not going to tarry long today. We're going to get right to the study of the precious Word. While you're opening your Bibles, I want to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And as each week that we have a chance to come together, I ask you that either you come to visit or drop me a note and tell me that you are enjoying the Word of God. Tell me that you have come to know Jesus because of the studies of the Word of God that we've had, that you have come to know the Lord Jesus in your church, in your local church. I believe in the local church. Tell me so I can pray for you. Anything that you've enjoyed in growing through the Word of God as we've studied, please let me know. And it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois, and the zip is 62341. Please drop me a note. Love to hear from you. Now, before we take any more time up, let's go to Philippians chapter 1, reading from verse 8 down through verse 21. We're going to begin with the 19th verse, but I love to read these verses of Scripture to keep everything in context, everything together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are magnified, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I praise you for this opportunity. I ask that you will take the precious word, your precious word, and touch every listener today, every person that is listening. And please, Lord, I just ask that you would draw them so close to you. I ask, first of all, Lord, that as we go through these verses of Scripture, that if one is there and they are lost, they do not know the Lord Jesus, they have never come by faith to you, Father, I ask that you'll touch their heart and today expose them, show them their sin, and show them that they need you as a Savior, and that they would fall to their knees and ask you, please, Lord, that you would save me. And we know that you are faithful. You are true. You hold your promises, every promise you've made in your precious word. So please, Lord, you tell us that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Father, that's a promise you have given us, and you hold true to those promises. Father, thank you. And I ask that that person be touched this morning by your Spirit, and they be drawn unto you, and they surrender unto you. And Father, for those of us that have come by faith to you and been saved as we walk this life and choose to glorify your precious name, I ask that you would please guide and lead us, that we can grow closer and closer to you, that we can please you greater, that we can bring more glory to you by our lives. Now please, that you would direct us so, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I said that we would begin at the 19th verse. Last week we spent the time concerning verse 18. Says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." And just to say for a minute what we talked about there, if you missed that, and that is that if someone was doing it to raise himself above Paul is not in competition with any preacher. Paul here wanted to proclaim the Word of God, but some folks were kind of taken by him. He was such a great preacher, and so many people listened to him, and they wanted that glory for themselves. Well, as long as they preached the truth, the precious death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and to come by faith and faith alone, and be saved by the precious knocking on the heart's door of the Holy Spirit and surrendering, realizing you're a sinner and lost, realizing that you've missed the mark, you need to come to Jesus. And if you stay upon the truth, the Word of God, and do not leave it, and many of these preachers were doing that, but they weren't doing it for the right reason. They were to get to Paul. They wanted to show that I'm greater than Paul, and with Paul in prison, why, they thought and saw this as an opportunity. They did not leave the truth. Contrary to today, so many folks, many people do not know the truth. It's kind of like the Jews today, as a Jew today can be saved coming by faith to Jesus, just as anyone else. But today, and as through history, through the Word of God, you can follow how that they have left the truth and went on to things of tradition. Well, today is no different. Today's church service is nothing more than an act, a tradition. Many times has nothing to do with the Word of God and the will of God. So I ask that you listen very carefully, that you know that you're in the will of God, know that you're a child of God. We have a word here in verse 19 of salvation. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers. Paul saved. What are we talking about salvation for? Salvation here is deliverance. And if you look to the Greek, you'll find that it means deliverance. It means also safety. And Paul says here, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers." Paul's saying, through my prayers I'm going to be delivered. He says, through your prayers, through the prayers of the church of Philippi. Now, I want you to understand how important it is. I ask the folks here, I ask you, if you're a child of God, that you will please pray for me. I ask that you pray that I search the Word, that I declare the truths of the Word of God, that I don't leave that precious Word. But you know, as you look to the wonderful Word of God, you'll find many times that the brethren, the saved, the church, the believers in Jesus Christ are praying for others. They're praying for a work that's going on. And it's so important that not only I pray for you, but you pray for me. And it's important, and that's the reason we have the local church, the body of believers. As we come together, the folks here, I hope that each and every person that attends this church, that has come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that is faithful every day to pray for me. I hope that. I want that. I need that. I need the prayers of the people here. I need your prayers as well, that this word can go on. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you should have a desire to see folks saved. Well, pray for this ministry, this radio program, that as it goes out and touches the heart of a lost person, that they'd be saved, that they can come to Jesus. These folks here were praying, and it was not salvation, again, as we think of it, when we say you need to come to salvation. Well, this here is just a deliverance from prison, that Paul would be set free, could go out and once again proclaim the precious Word of God. And these folks were faithful to pray for him that would happen. And he tells again, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Oh, the prayer of a believer, as we pray unto the Lord Jesus, as we pray unto God our Father, as we lift up requests to Him, say, "Please, will you turn set this person free?" And again, Paul being in prison, he wanted to get back out, even though he spoke earlier in this chapter about how that just because they've confined me doesn't mean they've shut me up. It doesn't mean they've closed my mouth, because I continue to proclaim the Word. And verse 13 tells us that, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." So they didn't shut Paul up by putting him in prison, that's for sure. But he was still desired to get out, number one, to come back to Philippi to visit the folks there face to face, but also to get to other areas in proclaiming the Word of God. But he knew this salvation. Now, salvation to you may mean that you need to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. It's important that you know Jesus Christ. It's the most important decision. It's the most exciting decision. I can't imagine why anyone would not want to come to Jesus and be saved. There has not been one day or one time that I have ever been sorry, ever turned and said, boy, I wish I'd never been a Christian. Never once. Never once. As He has grown me and changed me and strengthened me, that decision to come to Jesus back in 1975 between the Pharaoh house and the house, down on my knees, the day that I met Jesus Christ, was the greatest day in my life. And that day is continuing. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, to come to Jesus means eternal life, and it does. Life everlasting. But don't misunderstand that you have to live through this life grudgingly and so sadly, and then finally, if you struggle your way through and you finally get to the day of dying, and you go off into eternity, that's when the joy will come. The joy begins the very day, the very minute, the very second that you come to know Jesus as your Savior. That is when we start our life, and that is when life everlasting begins. That's when true life begins, the day that we've been set free from our sin and we have been introduced to Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world. Oh, to know Jesus Christ, to walk after Him. Paul knew Him as his salvation. Yes, he has trusted in Him. We know back in the Acts chapter, got the verse here for you. Acts chapter 9, I believe. Sometimes you kind of look down through verse. Yes, Acts chapter 9 is where Paul met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, as we find and come to know the Lord Jesus and becomes our salvation, becomes our Lord, the Lord of our life, and Jesus is real, Jesus is alive, Jesus is a person, He's my friend. And my life and my walk has never been the same, nor Paul, according to the witness and the testimony we have of the Word of God here. And he knows at the same time that not only the salvation that's come through Jesus Christ to save him, but that same power of God can mean salvation and release if it be the will of God. And he includes that in the supply of the Spirit of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. But he wanted the prayers of believers. The desire of Paul was that he should magnify. And we have in verse 20 that Christ shall be magnified in my body. And he goes on to say, and we'll get to that a little later, whether it be by life or by death. The desire of Paul's life, his main goal, is that Jesus Christ will be magnified. Well, he is sitting in prison. He's praising these people because I know that you're praying for my release. And I praise God for your prayers and through your prayers. And by the power, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be set free. And he praised him for that. Oh, to know the Lord Jesus. And the very the desire of our life should be to live and to honor the Lord Jesus. To glorify his precious name. To glorify the one that saved me. Now, Paul, in his life, he set forth to praise, to honor, and to glorify the name of Jesus. And that life in Jesus, in Paul, that he found in Jesus, that life started in Paul's life in Acts chapter 9. That life in me started in 1975, back between the Pharaoh house and the house where I met Jesus. That's where the life started, and to live, to praise, to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, I don't know when you were saved. I don't know if you are saved. But if you are saved, you need to change your ways, and you need to look unto the Lord Jesus, that what you do is pleasing unto Him. Now, let's continue, because we're going to get back to that just a little bit later. Again, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation, you know, everything Paul did was set towards to glorify the name of Jesus. We know with John the Baptist, his life was the same. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. We know that Paul, as he looked at his life, he looked at it as no account. He looked at it as being nothing without Jesus Christ. And we know that, that John the Baptist said that it was important that he would decrease and that Jesus would increase. Now, that is a very humble, a very humbling life, and you need to understand that Jesus needs to come first in your life, and you need to be way down that ladder. Now, I ask that you set your life that it be pleasing unto the Lord, and don't be so prideful when it comes to something that happens to you and you take offense to that. Please that you look unto the Lord Jesus. You look to your life and however you can serve Jesus as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one that's met him at the cross. You need to set before you, how can I serve? How can I help? How can I further the gospel of the Lord Jesus? And we need to set our eyes upon that goal. How can I help Jesus? How can I glorify his name? How can I lift his name up? Oh, that we would set our lives as an example from Paul, not to be like Paul, but just understand what Paul's life was like. His life was totally surrendered unto the Lord Jesus. Again, according to my earnest expectation. Expectation is to look, to watch. It is an eager longing, a strained expectancy. And it even brought on the stretching forth of the head to be so desirous to see it, to know that you're stretching your neck out there just as far as you can go. And he has here, according to the to my earnest expectation, oh, I desire so much to glorify the name of Jesus in all that I do. I know I'm going to be set free. You folks are praying for me. You folks are going to, by your prayers unto the Heavenly Father, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be set free. And Paul was. He was set free. And according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. To have a will so set up on pleasing, an earnest expectation of my hope, such an eager longing, a desire that's down deep in his heart, that he would always do things that would further the gospel, that would lift the name of Jesus, that would lift up Jesus, no matter what happened to Paul, he didn't care. As long as the name of Jesus and Jesus himself was lifted up and was magnified. Oh, to look at that. And as we look to the next section there, again, earnest expectation of my hope. What was the hope? What hope is he talking about that? That in nothing I shall be ashamed. The hope, my earnest expectation and my hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, it says that by two immutable, unchanging things, in which is it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which endureth, that into that within the veil, all the opportunity to go right into the presence of God because of what we have in Jesus, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul. The hope, knowing the Lord Jesus, has come into our life and saved us from the condition that we were in before, to rescue us. You know, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He bought and paid for us on the cross of Calvary. His precious blood was enough. because he bought and paid for us with his life, with his death, with his resurrection. It's completed. It's completed, and it's a glorious time. The anchor, and we need an anchor for our soul in this storm that we go through in this life all the time. And Jesus is our anchor. And that's the hope that Paul stands on. He's an anchor. Now, in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. To abound in hope. Once again, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Oh, does not Paul desires with all of his heart that he pleases the Lord. Oh, that we set our eyes, set our heart upon a life that is pleasing unto God, that brings glory to Him. Stop selling out to the old devil and start looking unto the Lord Jesus. Please, believer, let's turn around. Let's look to the light of the Lord Jesus and live after Him. Again, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. The God of hope. That's the God I serve. That's the God Paul served. According to my earnest expectation, his desire was so great, and his hope was set upon Jesus Christ and nothing less, because you need nothing more. Jesus is all in all. Earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. If we set our eyes upon Jesus and sell out to Him, there'll never be anything we're ashamed for. Oh, my friend, it's so exciting to serve the Lord Jesus, to walk after Him. Jesus is the author of our hope. He is our hope. He was Paul's hope. He's my hope. I hope He's your hope. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, my friend, that we wait for the hope that is in the Lord Jesus. We have Jesus Christ. You can come. It's not something that, I hope it happens. No, this is steadfast and sure. This is solid. This is Jesus Christ. This is the hope that Paul is standing on. And it's not something that might happen. It's something that has happened. And by faith we know that. He has bought and paid for us. And He will receive us under his arms whenever we get it come out of this world. And it's going to be a glorious day. That's what Paul's talking about here. He wants everything together. Now, once again, from verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. I know that because of your prayer, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, I'm going to be set free. It's going to be salvation for me. And again, not salvation to be saved, because Paul is saved. Salvation to get out of the pit he's in, out of the prison that he's in. According to my earnest expectation, my eager longing, I'm watching. I'm so excited. And my hope, and this is now the God of hope fill you with all joy. This is the hope that Paul had. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with that with all boldness as always. Oh, to have the hope, to have the full understanding of the Lord Jesus, to have a boldness. And the boldness here he is asking for, with all boldness as always, with all frankness, bluntness, with all confidence. You know, a lot of people will not involve themselves in the work of God. They will not participate in prayer. They're afraid to teach. They're afraid to do an awful lot of things. And it's so sad. It's so sad that people do that. We need to stand in the boldness of the Lord Jesus, in His power. And if He wants us to do that, even though we're afraid, go with the power of God, with the fullness of God, and walk by faith and let Him use us. There's many times that I have been frightened to do something. I have been scared after I've already said I would do something. Maybe it was back when I first started preaching. Oh, somebody'd ask me, you know, Larry, will you preach for me Sunday? Yes, I will. And as soon as I said that, I went back home and I thought, why did I say that? Because, see, the old nerves started getting to me. I started getting a little carried away and a little nervous about what I'd already said I'd do. Well, I'd already committed myself. And once you commit yourself, your word should be good. And so you see, as I found myself at the other end of that fear and was able to stand there by the power of God, proclaim His precious word, preach His precious word. Again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I gained confidence. I gained boldness. I wanted to make it so clear. And here Paul is saying that with all boldness, with all frankness. And so we need to get over our fear and come into the boldness and the security of the Lord Jesus through His precious Holy Spirit that lives within our life, and open those doors and begin to do things and begin to be in service unto the Lord Jesus. This is all opportunities that we have, wonderful opportunities as a believer. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you've never come by faith to the Lord Jesus and been saved, you're faced at sin. You say, Larry, I'm not a sinner. Then you're a liar. Now, wait a minute. If you're a liar, you've got to be a sinner. I think you're in trouble. The Word of God tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you. So if you're telling me that you don't think that you're a sinner, or at least you're not a bad enough sinner that you need to be saved, then you are a liar. Because you must come by faith to Jesus and be saved, because the wages of sin is death. That's what's going to cost you if you continue to stand there and lie about the condition of your heart and soul. Now, I ask that you come to Jesus and be saved. I ask that you not only come to Jesus and be saved, but I ask you that you go tell somebody that you've just come to Jesus and been gloriously and wonderfully saved. Please, that you tell others. That's the first step after salvation, is to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Please, that you do that. You confess that I know Jesus is my Savior. And once you've confessed that to others, then it's not going to be long that I hope that you're in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, truth-bound church to the Word of God, that you can come in and you'll follow the Lord then in scriptural baptism, be saved. Show other people. Show all around. I've trusted in Jesus. You go down to the water and you die to self and you are raised in Jesus Christ, alive in Him today. I ask that you come to life in Jesus Christ. And please then that you find the boldness, the strength, the hope. I hope that this expectation it just bubbles up into you, that you can't contain yourself, and with the hope, the strength, the knowing, literally knowing that Jesus Christ is alive, and that Jesus Christ bought and paid for you on the cross of Calvary, and to show, because of what He has done for me, because of what he's done for me, please, that why don't I want to give all in service to Him because of what He's done for me? Oh, please, to live a life in honor again, to live a life in honor of the One who saved me. That's what Paul wanted to do. That's what Paul did with his life. And he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, with all bluntness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. To be magnified is to increase, to enlarge, to carry the message to other parts, to carry it out that everyone can hear and everyone will know that Jesus is alive. That Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And I'm introducing that Savior to you today. Oh, my friend, will you come to Jesus today? If you're a believer, will you surrender your life, that you will begin to honor His name? But not only your walk, but your talk. Oh, my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus.